Church family, go and have a seat right now. And I just want to just reiterate what Pastor Tom said. There's a theme that repeats itself over and over again that brings, I think, great reassurance to our hearts, and that is God is a relentless pursuer of his people. God is a relentless pursuer of his people. It's amazing. Even when people are not yet his people, he's like, I'm after you. You're mine. I've already claimed you. It's just a matter of time. So you can fight, you can stiff arm all you want, but in the end, God's going to get what he wants. But at the same time, even as those who belong to Jesus already, one of the truths that we find very reassuring for us is that he continues to pursue it. It's not just so that he can kind of, hey, you're mine, you're my family now, but he continually pursues us. He doesn't give up on us. That's the promise of Scripture. Even when we walk away, he continues to come after us. Because yes, we're all fickle and we're all weak and we all have moments and lapses in our life. And there are times in which we're just like, I know the right thing, but I struggle to do it. Read Romans 7, right? Why do I do the things I don't want to do and the things I know I need to do, I can't do? But God. That's what Daniel said. Yeah? But God. But God is a relentless pursuer of his people. I just want to share a few things for you, but I want to preface it in this way. I'm coming up here, and I know it's 11:10, and you're thinking me, oh, wow. Get ready. No. This is going to be a short service. In fact, even as we were prepping the kids, and I was telling them what was going on, what to expect, and then Joshua, my son, goes, so are you going to still be preaching after all that? And I'm like, yes. And he's like, how long? And I was like, and so I said, guess what I said? No more than 10 minutes. The clock hasn't started yet, though. So I said, no more than 10 minutes. And so he says, and then can I go run out up there? And then I just shut your mic off when you're done. I said, yes. So here we go. What are we doing this morning? I mean, yes, we gather as a church, and we're here celebrating 9 incredible, relentless, pursuing God moment stories, right? And people are getting dunked in the water, and some of you might be going, yeah, I've grown up in the church. I know what's happening. Some of you might be saying, I've never been in the church. What in the world is this going on? What is this weird dip in the water? What significance does it have in my life or in someone else's life? Let me just say, I just want to clarify a few things about baptism, not because this is going to be an exhaustive explanation, mind you, but it will at least start the conversation, and this is my invitation to you. If you want to know further, if you want to explore further, we would love to talk with you. We would love to sit with you. We would love to sit down and explain in more depth. This is what baptism is. This is what it's all about. Baptism literally means, by definition, to immerse or to dip. That's why we have a huge hot tub right there. We don't always do it in a hot tub. Sometimes we do it at the Elwha, which is a nice, cold, refreshing stream. And But the point is that it's about water. It's about dipping or immersing yourself in water. Now, I just want to also say this up front, and I know I'm talking a little fast because I got less than 10 minutes already. But I want to say this up front. I'm not going to go into, like, do we sprinkle? Do we dip? What is the contrast? Some traditions do it this way. I'm not going to go into the mode of baptism, because the mode of baptism is actually more secondary than it is primary. The mode of baptism, the point is, am I being obedient to Jesus Christ and what he has asked me to do? And so the reason why we dip in the water or immerse people in the water versus sprinkling is because that's literally by definition what baptism means. And that is the tradition that began in the first century when the church began and people came to saving faith and now in Jesus Christ under a new covenant. But the reason we baptize first and foremost is because Jesus told us to. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean? Well, there's a lot of things that we could probably say that are right in response. But in essence, to follow Jesus means just to listen to what he says and to do what he's asking us to do. First and foremost, what does he ask us to do? To understand most fully how much he loves us. Everything else flows from that relationship. And so when he asks us to be baptized, we are not doing it because we are trying to earn his love. We are doing it because we are already on the receiving end of his love for us. Jesus says this in his final words, at least according to the Gospel of Matthew. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. This is Jesus talking. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of Jesus. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And by the way, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. That's what Jesus commands and that's what he promises. You see, the New Testament reflects a consistent example of what happens after a person comes to saving faith in Jesus Christ. They get baptized. There was no distinction. In other words, like to say, I'm saying yes to Jesus, a person almost immediately following that decision to follow Jesus was to be baptized. It continues to dumbfound me, and I'll just kind of say this in the nicest way possible. It continues to confound me and dumbfound me that some people, and this could actually be some of you, I realize, and I'm not calling you out, but I am going to put your feet to the fire a little bit. It continues to boggle my mind that some professing believers in Jesus Christ have the idea that they can be a follower of Jesus, but resist being baptized. And yet that was the first command of Jesus, to be baptized. It's like, if you're going to follow me, do what I'm asking you to do. And if I'm resisting being baptized, then what does that fellowship really look like? To follow Jesus means to obey Jesus. And just Jesus commanded that his followers be baptized. But I think probably the more pressing question that I want to answer for us this morning is this. Not necessarily what is baptism, as I really want to kind of focus on why. Why are we doing this? Yes, I mean, obviously Jesus says, I want you to be baptized. If you're going to follow me, be baptized. But what does baptism do? Is there something about being immersed in the water and coming back out? Is there any kind of significance to that? Or is it just kind of a check it off the list and move on in my life? There are actually quite a few reasons why we are immersed in the water. First of all, baptism is a symbol of Jesus' death and resurrection. Baptism is a symbol. It's a sacramental symbol of Jesus' death and resurrection. Paul says in this in Romans 6, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. He goes on to say, for we have been united with him in death like his, and we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. The point is this, that baptism is a way of a kind of vicarious identification. Baptism is a vicarious identification. Jesus died for the sins of the world. We don't die for the sins of the world, but we vicariously identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He accomplished for us what we could not do for ourselves. And yet we are, as followers of Jesus, saying, I'm with him, and he died, and he makes me right with the Father, and now this is how I identify with what he accomplished on my behalf. We also see that baptism is a symbol of washing or cleansing from sin. Titus tells us he saved us not because of the righteous things that we have done, but according to his mercy. He washed away the sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to understand that in context, right? Baptism isn't what takes away your sins. Jesus takes away your sins. By the blood that was shed on the cross, that was the forgiveness that we received from the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. But it is a symbolic way of understanding, much like his blood washed me clean, we see that water to baptism is a way of being clean before God. Not because we actually are all the time, but it's a way that for us in our own heart and our own mind to identify, I am clean before God. Baptism is a public declaration of faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, baptism is a visible or outward declaration of a personal and inward decision to follow Jesus. And so while becoming a Christian is definitely a personal act, right? When you came to faith in Jesus Christ, it is a personal act. It is a personal response. It is definitely never a private one. Baptism is never a private. Your decision to follow Jesus is never intended to be private only. We see that baptism is a symbol of our entrance into the body of Christ, which is the church. Paul relates this in 1 Corinthians 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. What this means most practically for you and for me is this: baptism joins one Christian to many Christians. Baptism joins one Christian to many Christians. We might call that the universal church, right? All true followers of Jesus Christ are part of Christ's body, the church. And baptism joins one Christian to many Christians. But even it goes even a step further. Baptism is in a local church joins one Christian to a local body of believers. Now, this is an important perspective or understanding to understand, because when I say local church, again, I'm not talking about an address or a building. I'm talking about a covenant community of believers. That would be us and many other covenant communities that are also meeting right now in this community. In baptism, a follower of Jesus is being joined to a local body of believers, what we call a covenant community, what we call a local church. And so, in effect, baptism formally identifies one believer with the body of Christ, and most visibly, the local covenant community, which we call a local church. And this is why we don't endorse or encourage baptism outside a local community of believers. It's not uncommon for people to go, I feel like I need to get baptized because I know that's what Jesus asked me to do. And so it's just going to me and my buddy, and we're going to go get baptized in some stream somewhere, and we're good. And I did what Jesus asked me to do. Well, I'm glad that you want to follow what Jesus asked you to do, but baptism as a sacrament is always intended in the context of a covenant community, meaning it's all about the church gathering and celebrating with you. In one sense, what we're saying when we are baptized in the context or in the presence of a local church or community, we're saying, this one's with Jesus, therefore this one is with us. This one is with Jesus, therefore this one is with us. In other words, you don't do that in the privacy of you and your buddy or whatever it may be. It is always intended in the context of the local community. And yes, we still go to do baptisms at the L Wall. We go other places. It doesn't have to be in that tank right there necessarily. But it is always with the gathering of the church. And it is why that we don't encourage or endorse kind of private baptisms. Baptism is always public. It is a public declaration to the community of faith saying, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I want you to know that I belong to you and you belong to me. We're now family, and we're part of the same body of Christ. You know, I didn't always used to have a less rigid understanding of baptism early on in my pastoral tenure. But as I've grown in my understanding of baptism, I'm less and less going like, hey, to each their own. Like, as long as you do it, you're doing the right thing. And now it's like, no, we want to be baptized in the community of faith, in a covenant community of believers. And that just brings me to my last point here. Baptism is only for believers. You see, in light of all about what Scripture says, it seems most clear that baptism is an act of obedience for those who have already made the decision to follow Jesus with their life. And therefore, we don't personally interpret the Scripture as, you know, a sprinkling of the baby and then calling that baptism. I'm not here to knock different traditions right now, but I am going to say this, that we believe in believer's baptism. We believe that's what Scripture teaches. We believe that's what was modeled. And so that's why we wait till there's a clear profession of faith that I understand the gospel of Jesus. I understand what Jesus has done for me. And therefore, baptism is a visible way of declaring what I have made internally in my own heart and life. So how do you know if you're ready for baptism? Because I know there are some of you in here that are also going, this is me. And maybe I have yet to respond or really understand what baptism is all about. Let me just say this very quickly. Do you have a present trust in Christ for the salvation of your soul? Much like the many questions that Pastor Tom asked in the tank. He's like, do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? Do you believe that his death was sufficient for your sins? Do you believe that your salvation is in Christ alone, just as we sang, and that's it? I think a second question to consider is there any evidence of the Holy Spirit in my life? How would I know? Maybe as some of these testimonies said, like, you know, my life has changed. I can just tell my life, my motivations, all my aspirations of all are beginning to change ever so gradually because of what the Holy Spirit's doing in my life. And maybe that evidence is also confirmed by the peers that we have in our life. Do we see a pattern of spiritual growth in my Christian life? I just want to make this as an invitation. If you are being stirred by what you saw and experienced here this morning, then we make the invitation available to you. And on December 7th, we're going to have more baptisms. And even though we'll be decorating the church for kind of the Christmas season and stuff, we're not decorating that baptism because I didn't want it covered up. I don't want to wait till January. And I don't want you to wait till January. And so we're not actually going to decorate the baptism because on December 7th, we're going to actually have more baptisms. I don't know how many. We have yet to find out. But I know there's a few of you already in here that are saying, like, Jesus is already tugging at my heart. This is my next step. And so we make that available to you. And if that is something that the Spirit of Christ is impressing upon you, then let's talk. Let's talk sooner than later. And let's start planning. And let's have a glorious celebration together. Amen. Amen.